Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Thank you for tuning into the Sports Ethos Nets podcast. As always, this is your host, Cody Mallory. You can find me on Twitter at RealCodyMallory. I am once again delighted to be joined by my two co-hosts, Anthony Dittmar on Twitter, that is at AnthonyDittmar_, and Joe Farrow on Twitter, that is at SwampDragonStan. How's it going, guys? It's been a while since we've spoken.
Oh, it's actually been pretty okay. It has been a while. Had a nice little Christmas break, but I'm glad to be back and recording again.
Yeah, 100%. The Nets took a little break. We took a little break. Was waiting for some Nets to pile up. I entered health and safety protocols, but we're good now. Eventful week, say the less.
Yeah, did you guys have a good Christmas? I know, Anthony, you were under health and safety protocols, like you said, so it's probably a little different than usual.
Yeah, I was all self-isolating. Didn't get to spend it with the fam. Going to spend it this weekend with the fam. Pretend New Year's Day is Christmas Day. So we're kind of going to go down that route. So that's what we're doing.
Bro, no way. My family is doing the exact same thing. My mom was in health and safety protocols as well. So we're doing the exact same thing. New Year's Day is our Christmas this year too.
Yeah. They said, though, we're not going to open a single present without you. So that's what we decided to do. But I'm glad to hear your mom's doing better.
Yeah, she's good. She got tested like 5 times within 7 days, and she was negative every time. They said it was the flu. So, okay, false health and safety protocols, I guess.
Non-COVID illness.
Yeah, non-COVID illness. Or AKA the Nick Claxton.
Yeah. So, yeah, we finally got some Nets basketball, which we touched on. But before we go into the Nets, Anthony, start us off with around the league, kind of the big news that's been going on.
So the biggest news, I guess, for everyone, not just the NBA, but just like the United States in general, the CDC changed their rules in terms of like how long they have to self-isolate and testing positive for COVID. They changed it from 10 days to 5 days for those who are asymptomatic. There's a bunch of other guidelines on it, but basically like the portal for players to come back has gotten shorter. I don't know if that led to certain people coming back sooner or whether or not it is, but that's been pretty big in terms of like how long guys will be out. So let's see how that affects the NBA. Bradley Beal, who's actually in protocols right now, finally got vaccinated because the Washington DC protocols kind of called for it. So you kind of have to do that. We'll see if other players that are not vaccinated decide to follow through. And like always, a lot of star players, it would be wasting your time to name every single player that's in the protocols right now, but just know there's a lot of players out right now. It's kind of cool seeing some guys get some looks. We saw like Joe Johnson, Brandon Knight, a lot of other guys that get second chances in the NBA, Greg Monroe. So it's
where's Brandon Knight?
I think he went to Dallas, I want to say. Oh, I'm just guessing. I'm pretty sure I saw the Mavericks. He was at the Nets Summer League this year, though, and he looked awful.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was saying. Who the hell gave him a chance?
I mean, everyone's getting 10 days. The only person really didn't get one was Jamal Crawford, which I was a little upset about, but he got hurt in one at quarter for the Nets in the bubble, so I'm not too sure how long his body has on him. But, yeah, well, it's cool seeing some old heads get some chances, and a lot of G League guys kind of getting to prove themselves. I think the NBA set the record now for the most players playing in a single season ever. We're only halfway through, not even. So pretty interesting seeing that going on around the league.
Yeah, there was I saw some people on Twitter calling for Dirk Nowitzki to get a chance.
That's like, I'm sure Dirk would have done the same. I don't know. This isn't basketball related, but you heard like how the Saints had asked Drew Brees to come back this week, and he sent them back a picture of him playing golf in Hawaii. But like, I feel like Dirk would have done the exact same thing.
Yeah, that legend status that you don't tarnish your career with that. It's kind of for guys that kind of like dipped out or trying to come back in. Like, you don't have like a D Wade or a Dirk Nowitzki or like a Tim Duncan do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just kind of following off what Anthony said. So the NBA responded to that CDC rule change. They were discussing it. I believe it was like Thursday and Friday. And then they finally finalized it. I want to say it was Monday. I don't remember the exact timeline. But so now the NBA cut down from 10 days to 6 days, but you must be asymptomatic, vaccinated, and meet other testing standards, whatever that means. But that is what the NBA released, kind of getting a little more lenient. I think it's kind of in reaction to the frustration that's been going on with the NBA players. I don't know if you guys have noticed it, but I have. Obviously, that LeBron James Instagram post that went viral. Forget the post, because the post was stupid, but there's a lot of comments of NBA players that were agreeing with him. Then I even saw some players on Twitter tweeting stuff about it. I mean, Carl Anthony Towns is one of them, but I think his frustrations were different than LeBron James' meme. But just in general, so it's a way for players to come back sooner. Most of the NBA players, it seems, have been asymptomatic. So, and it's also another incentive for that last 3 or 2% or whatever it is to get vaccinated. So I guess it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, but I think what like people like took from LeBron's post, I agree, was like taking like he shouldn't be using his platform from that. I think it was just basically like he was trying to say in a weird way, like all these symptoms are similar, but it was just not appropriate given the time and period and whatnot. So that's where like the big outrage came from, because like LeBron obviously has the biggest following in the league. So that's kind of like what people were seeing it at.
Yeah, you're right. It wasn't appropriate, but I think how much left, how many more notable names really are there in the NBA that haven't been vaccinated? I mean, obviously Kyrie Irving is one of them, and I know John Isaac is one of them, and like Kyle Kuzma, but now that Bradley Beal has gotten it, I'm not sure who else is left, because I know Andrew Wiggins ended up getting it. Who?
I think Michael Porter.
Oh, Michael Porter Jr., yes, you're right. But he's out like the foreseeable future anyway. Yeah, but right, like most other guys that should be active, I think most of them have it. It's like really only those four that I could really name off the top of my head.
Yeah, obviously Kyrie Irving is the big one, and we'll see how that progresses. It's kind of been what we've talked about all season since we started the podcast. But jumping right into the Nets COVID players today, we got the news that Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and LaMarcus Aldridge were out of health and safety protocols. Leaving the Nets rookies in it, but with those new rules, assuming they're all fully vaccinated, they could be out relatively soon.
Probably within the next few days. I believe they went in. I believe they went in on the 23rd. All of them, right?
I think so.
Yeah. It was right before Christmas, that Thursday.
I believe it was the 23rd. I think it was
the 23rd. Yeah, it was that Thursday when the Nets got their game postponed. That's why the game got postponed, because they had some players come out and then they held the rookies go in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I guess in theory, they could be back for the Philly game, but they should definitely be back for the game after that.
Yeah. It's interesting. And KD and LaMarcus should be back, obviously, next game, but Nash had also said that Kyrie needs like a closer to 1 to 2 closer to 2 week ramp up before he could joint before he's going to play.
Yeah, it's interesting to note. I don't know if like the LaMarcus Hart thing is going to take any effect, or he'll need a little bit more of a ramp up. We'll see. Like when they announce the like injury report tomorrow afternoon, I would guess it's a Thursday game. But in terms of getting guys back, I wonder if like this in the long run could help the Nets, because they only have four players that haven't gone into protocols yet. You would assume like some of these guys won't go into protocols multiple times in, like a 2 month period. So maybe like get it out of the way early, so it kind of doesn't affect them during the home stretch. If like it's like a silver lining, obviously you don't want guys to get sick, but if you're trying to get what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's definitely understandable. Cause I know, I mean, there was like people talking about the guys in the NFL who have been, cause the NFL's policy is if you go into health and safety protocols, even if you're not vaccinated, you're not tested again for another 90 days. So like the guys like Carson Wentz went in today. And they said like he's one of them who's not vaccinated, and with the new rules he could be back for their game this weekend, and if he is, then he wouldn't, if the Colts even go like towards like the Super Bowl or whatever, like he won't be tested throughout that entire thing. So unless he has symptoms, he's perfectly okay. So I don't know if the NBA is going to adopt something similar to that, where like if you're in protocols, you're not tested regardless for another 90 days. But that seems to be the case, and at least starting up in other leagues. But the NFL has also changed their protocols like four times in the last like 2 weeks.
Yeah, the only people that haven't gone into protocols to the Nets are Mills, Claxton, Joe Harris, and Griffin, right?
Yeah.
So only got names left out for us here on out.
Knock wood.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, right. So Kyrie Irving is, the Nets are hosting practice tomorrow. It has been a while. I mean, they did one before the game in LA. And obviously, Kyrie Irving is eligible to practice with the Nets. There's some rule where he can practice, but he can't play games. I believe, I could be wrong with this, it'll be his first official practice with the team. So that'll be interesting. I guess Nash hasn't seen Kyrie on the court yet. I saw a report with that. So I really think how he looks in these next coming days will really determine how long the ramp up it is. I know there were all the reports that Kyrie was ready to play basketball. He was staying in shape on his own, which should help. It's either going to be January 5th or January 12th when we first see Kyrie Irving, in my opinion. So that's definitely something also to keep an eye on. The game the 12th against the Bulls would be awesome, I'll be honest, if that's his first game back.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Probably we probably even see Lonzo Ball is probably back by that time, so we probably get a fully healthy Bulls team at that point too.
I'll be at the Bulls game actually next Friday in Chicago, so it should be fun against really? The Wizards. I'll be seeing Spencer Dinwiddie.
Spence.
Spencer says.
Yeah, man, Spencer. I don't want to get into that.
Cody's favorite player.
Cody's favorite.
Anyways, so before we fall off topic into my opinion on Spencer Dinwiddie, there was finally some Nets basketball on Christmas Day, nonetheless, against the Los Angeles Lakers. Obviously, it was missing some key players. You're missing Kevin Durant, obviously Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, the rookies. The Lakers had a bunch of players out. But all in all, it was a very fun and entertaining basketball game to watch. The Nets came out red hot. James Harden in the first, I would say, three quarters looked like the James Harden old before the fourth quarter. I'm not sure what happened there. It was weird. But he's put up an incredible stat line. Obviously, the play of the game was the winning play of Nick Claxton. All in all, it was a good basketball game. I watched that play probably a solid 50 times, and that's not even an exaggeration. I just kept watching it over and over and over and over again on my phone.
It was just ridiculous. I had no words for it when he went up, and I was like, I noticed it was LeBron that it was under him. I was like, oh my God, as the ball was in the air, because Harden threw that thing up high. Like that thing was up there. Clax had to get up to throw that thing down, and then he was pretty far away from the rim, so the fact that he was able to throw that thing down, and oh my God, it was absurd that he was able to throw that thing down. An amazing highlight.
I think Clax's exact words was, it was lit, if I'm not mistaken.
That's exact. They had asked him, like, last week, like, what his two favorite career dunks were, and I believe they were other like two other lobs. But and then they asked him after the Laker game, and then he goes, yeah, no, that one's definitely number one for sure. It was lit.
Which is just such a Claxton thing to say.
He's really coming to his own, like in his offensive game. Like he's getting his feet under him. He's really becoming a great asset for the Nets. I know we'll get into that a little more, but it is impressive what the last two games.
For sure. And then obviously Patty Mills was once again incredible, set a Christmas Day record for most three-pointers in a game. Yes, I set a record for Patty Mills. He hit 8 threes in the game, was 8 of 13, had 34 points. He had the announcers comparing him to Steph Curry. I don't know if you guys caught that. Several times, I think it was in the second half, they were calling it Curry-esque. If Steph Curry made that play, he'd be talking about it all day, showing reruns and highlights of it. So he's another, like Claxton, who's another great piece that has come through with all of this going on with the Nets.
Yeah, the thing is they kept comparing Patty to Steph Curry because of all of the off-ball movement that he was going through during that game, coming off a bunch of screens, knocking down a bunch of pin-down fadeaway three-pointers. It was just ridiculous. Patty's like, it was like rare that he missed a shot. He was just on absolute fire. It looked like he was back in the Olympics again. It was unbelievable.
The way he can just get open for a shot and like get his feet set so quickly with like very little room is the most impressive part. Like he just like sets his body and like you think he doesn't have a lot of room, but he makes himself have just enough to get that shot off.
Yeah, and it's just the way he's able to move. Like you said, the way he's able to move his body, just knowing his lack of size, he has to contort his body in certain ways to get that shot off. And he's just a master at it. It's like he does all this extra movement. And when you watch it, it's like, what is he doing? But it goes in almost every time. It's amazing. It's like I've never seen anything like it.
I'm telling you, he's going to hit a big shot for the Nets in the playoffs to win them a game.
He always did. He has a history of doing that. I think he hit one. What was it? It was against the Heat, right? When he was with the Spurs, he had some huge shot in that series.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Even this 13 or 14.
Even this season, it's like every time the Nets get like hit in the mouth, the team makes a run. What do they do? Patty Mills three. You just know it's going in every time because it just it seems like every game. Oh, the team comes back. Oh, Patty Mills just hit three threes in a row, and the game's over.
I also liked it was when the Lakers made that run in the fourth to really start bringing the game kind of close. And Patty Mills knocks down that three to really shift the momentum. And Ian Eagle yells, "Good day, mate," as the call. I lost it. It was so funny. And I was so happy.
I think if Kyrie Irving was playing this whole season, Patty Mills was a lock for the Sixth Man of the Year award.
Absolutely.
Like, that was a lock. Like, it would have been no doubt about it.
I'll one up you, and I'll say even if Joe Harris is playing this entire season, Patty Mills would have been a lock for the Sixth Man Award.
Yes, if he was coming off the bench in any regard, like he would. I think just now he's just started way too many games to even qualify for that award.
Yeah, I agree.
And by the end of the season, that total is just still going to go up because of the home games and stuff. So
yeah.
He also had 7 assists, which is something we haven't really seen from Patty even since he's been starting. He's been averaging 18, 3, and 3. So 3 assists, 3 rebounds, 18 points. I saw a stat today. I don't remember exactly. I want to say he's shooting like 47, 40, and 90. He was very close to that 50, 40, 90 threshold that very few NBA players have done. Obviously, it was not for the entire season. It was just since he's been starting. But still, he's been absolutely incredible. And honestly, I'm going to go on a limb and say, when the Nets are in the playoffs, when they're making their push, their run, this little COVID stretch, health and safety protocols, I think is going to be like the defining moment on where the Nets get to and how they get there. Just how they've all had to come together, pick each other up, next man up mentality, everyone showing that they can play basketball. I think it's going to be huge when they come to adversity later in the season.
I think now, when everyone's back, I just don't know how you choose who to play and not play. Like, I think almost everyone on the team is deserving of playing time now. And it's like going to be so tough to see some guys not even get like a real shot. Well, everyone but Mitchell.
Anthony.
Yeah.
But Javon. Everyone.
But Javon Carter.
14 of 15.
Like, how do you like if you think about it, you have the big three, you have Joe Harris. They have to play, obviously. You'd assume Claxton's there. You assume Mills and Aldridge. After that, you kind of just like mixing match. Like, how many more minutes do you have to go around? Like, in the playoffs, you play like 7-8 guys sometimes, like maybe 9. And like, if it's like an early round series that you know you're going to win, it's like going to be tough. Like, you'll see Bruce Browns, DeAndre Bembry's, James Johnson's, Griffin's, Millsaps get DNPs. It's nuts. Like, Cam Thomas, maybe. Like not, there's two, not minutes to go around for everyone.
The two people that like I kind of feel the worst for is probably one is Cam Thomas, because the guy he was really starting to come into his own, and now I'm not saying he's not going to get minutes, but Kyrie Irving coming back and Patty and James Harden, there's just so many ball, just like there's so many elite ball handling scorers that we already have on this team once Kyrie is here. That it's like Cam is going to have a rough time finding minutes. Maybe, yeah, at home games, he should get some more run. And then also, not that I feel bad for him, but I feel like Blake has played his way back into the rotation during this stretch. I think he definitely deserves to stay in this rotation. I don't want to see him get DNP'd again, because we're seeing stuff now that we saw from Blake last year outside of like the shooting, which still hasn't been as good as last year, but all the other little things he does on the floor seem to be coming back to him.
I think he'll stay in the rotation in some capacity. I think Millsap is just the guy you play for like 8-9 minutes. And I think Blake is a guy you really can go 20 plus. And I think Nash, I think this like stretch of Blake being the one constant or one of the few guys constant in the lineup is going to solidify at least like 15 to 20 for him, at least in the regular season.
Yeah.
Which I'm happy for, because it kind of sucks seeing him not play, because you know what, he came to this team for a reason. Like, he didn't come to sit on the bench.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Nets won Christmas. And I'm trying to continue the Blake talk. Let's go into the Clippers game, where I thought Blake was absolutely amazing. And the biggest difference was the Nets stopped using him as a jump shooter. They put him more as in, so the Nets' offense was incredibly basic. They would have James Harden at the top of the key, obviously, with the ball. They would have Bruce Brown or Bembry or someone come set a screen and just slip it, knowing that Harden was going to get blitzed. They simply bounce the ball to Bruce Brown or someone at the foul line. Then they either had Claxton or Blake Griffin on that like dunker spot on the baseline, and it just resulted in easy baskets time and time again for them. Claxton was 8-9, and even Blake was 4-8. And it's because most of them were layups or dunks, because they had a 4v3 every single possession for the most part. And it was all because James Harden was just absolutely putting on an offensive clinic in the game.
Yeah, like the way like Harden looked like fresh off the ball, like the way he just beats his first defender, like once he gets in that second layer of the defense and like you have to make a help defender come off. When you, like you said, having Blake and Claxton crash just creates a whole new lane of offense where like the help defender comes off. And you have Blake and Claxton do what they're actually good at. Like, Claxton wasn't taking jump shots, but like Blake in particular, like jump shots are supposed to be something he's like complimentary to like keep the defenders honest. When you have Blake doing what he was doing, making a living his whole NBA career, like we saw him do it in LA, like that's, you need him to do. Like, that's the kind of Blake that's like the most efficient. And like, then you can like mix it up with a three pointer here and there, not taking 8 threes a game. So I think Harden in the Blake lineup, I think, is the best option for him. And I think when we're fully healthy, having Blake in that second unit, maybe with Harden kind of like staggering from those KD Kyrie minutes, could be the best thing for him in terms of penetration to the rim.
Yeah, I agree. Blake has really looked amazing. And James Harden, I don't know what more we could really say about him. He's been phenomenal ever since coming back. He looks fast. That's my biggest, like, Harden looks fast.
They said fat at first. I was like,
No.
I also thought you said fat. I was like, whoa, Joe, what?
No. F-A-S-T. We're done with the Harden slander, at least for now. He has been so good these last two games. It's like it looks like he's a brand new player as to what we were seeing earlier in the year, where he just like was indecisive and wasn't really able to get to the rim efficiently. And I mean, granted, in the second game, the Clippers had nobody. But like, still, he was able to. He was getting ISOs at the top of the key and making two dribbles, and then getting a huge burst to the rim. And like you guys said, with Claxton and Blake down in the dunker spot with, and all the other ways that we were using Bembry and Brown. There was at one point, I think it was early in the fourth quarter, I don't know the final number, but points in the paint, we were outscoring the Clippers by like 30 in that category. So it just shows you how many easy baskets we were getting at the rim outside, like between Claxton, Blake, and then Harden. He had a bunch of layups and even threw down a few dunks in that game. So it was very fun to see. And overall, my biggest takeaway from the two games that we played ever since coming off this COVID spurt is definitely how good James Harden looks. Hopefully he could continue it.
Sure. Yeah, just to kind of throw in your point, the Nets outscored the Clippers for points in the paint, 74. Yeah, Nets had 74 points in the paint. There were times they were struggling to score and get out of the 90s. They scored 74 points in the paint, and the Clippers had 38, which is absurd.
Yeah, that's unreal. I knew it was an insane number. I think when I had seen it, it was like 58 to like 24 or something like that. And it just – they looked great. Another
incredible sign is that James Harden had 39 points, as we all know, and he only attempted 5 free throws, which shows you that he's still an elite scorer. And like I think Joe, Anthony, we've all said it. Ever since he came back from COVID – safety protocols, whatever you want to call it, he's just looked like a much more explosive athlete. I was watching videos when the Nets were off of him in Houston, and I was like, oh man, this player, like, he would be great. Like, where is he? And then sure enough, he showed up. Like, I was watching in Houston, I was like, wow, he's got a quick first step. Like, he's getting to the rim at ease. He's finishing around the basket, which he hasn't been doing at all this year. And then we saw it all against the Lakers. And obviously, really against the Clippers. That Lakers fourth quarter, I'm going to be honest, James Harden kind of concerned me. He looked timid again. And I honestly was more comfortable with Patty Mills having the ball than James Harden in that fourth quarter, which is saying something. But
he was also probably real tired at that point, though.
Right.
Like, he played a lot.
Yeah, just coming back as well from the health and safety. Yeah. So that's a fair point. But he made me not worry at all after the Clippers game because the reason that that's won, I mean, yeah, the Clippers were devastated. They basically, their roster, like, it was atrocious. I'm not gonna lie. Like, very few NBA caliber players were playing. But James Harden was just by far the best player on the court. Like, it wasn't even close. And he just totally took the game over, and then that's pretty much warped the Clippers because of it.
Yeah, it was honestly a great, like, it was one of those games where, like, it didn't go to the typical Nets script. Like you said, like, all these games were on the big hole with a big lead, and it kind of, like, comes back to normal. This game, like, didn't really, like, once we, like, pushed ahead, it kind of just, like, steered its course. It got down to, like, 10 maybe, but, like, other than that, like, it the Nets kind of held on, like, pretty strong. Like, it never had, like, the game, I don't think the game was ever in question, in my opinion.
Yeah,
it was. It got down to 10, and then James Harden had that 4-point play in the corner.
And then Patty put it up to 17, and that was the end.
Yeah, and that was the game. Yeah, just to kind of go with what Anthony just said, this was pretty much the first game I can remember in a while where the game never got close enough in the fourth quarter. I was like, oh boy, here we go again. I felt pretty comfortable with this game. I mean, obviously, it's the Nets, so you can never be too comfortable despite all the wins. But I was fairly comfortable the entire way in this game.
It's funny because I was just thinking about it, like, kind of random. Like, the Nets have had two different teams play last, like, this whole COVID thing happened last, like, 2.5 weeks. Like, you had the Kevin Durant and Rooks kind of crew, and now you've had, like, this Harden with role players crew where it's, like, two completely different teams besides, like, a few mainstays. And it's kind of interesting how, like, both teams had, like, their own identity. Like, one was, like, KD, like, elevating his rookies. Now this is, like, Harden elevating, the role players. And now it's kind of going to be fun seeing everyone kind of morph into one team again, and then also adding Kyrie Irving, and then in the near future adding Joe Harris. It's going to be a lot of fun. Like, scary hours are really going to be insane.
Their record with those two different teams is 4-1, which is insane. They lost to Orlando, obviously, but that was just
that was where KD sat, and it was just Patty and the rookies, right?
Yeah, that was like a very barren roster, and we still almost won. It was
game. I know.
Minutes left.
And yeah, I can just hold them on. So
the Robin Lopez game.
I still can't get over that. Man looked like prime Yao Ming. Like,
He was getting his revenge. He was getting his revenge for Brooke.
Yeah.
If, I guess that's what'll happen when you're 8 feet tall and the next tallest player is 6'4". So yeah, I'm just kidding. You know, Blake, who's like 6'9", whatever, but still.
I just wanted to bring this up real quick. Did you see after we beat the Clippers, did you see what Joe Tsai tweeted?
I love crypto.
That was the funniest thing. I was crying. I was like, oh, Joe.
Well, the Nets have two wins the crypto arena. The Clippers and Lakers have zero. So I'm just saying.
Yeah. The Nets currently have the most wins in crypto.com arena history and the only wins in crypto.com arena history.
Just the most, the only ones. Yeah. Let's kind of go through a quick injury roundup. So it's pretty much Joe Harris, as of Monday, he was at 4 weeks on that timeline of 4 to 8. He has been traveling with the team, which I think is a good sign. There's also optimism that he would be back before that full 8 weeks. So we could be seeing Joe this month, or sorry, we're not in January yet, but you know, in January. And then we'll have literally the full plethora of points. Like we said, the rotations for Steve Nash is going to be like a nightmare because everyone's going to feel like they should play.
It's a good problem to have. Right. It's a very good problem to have.
I feel like everyone has bought into the Nets' goal of a championship, so I don't think any egos will get in the way. But still, like you said, it's a good problem to have, but still it's a problem because this team is just so talented, so deep. They can play in so many different ways. They could start Aldridge if they want more floor spacing. They can even play KD at the five and start Patty Mills with James Harden, Kyrie, and Joe Harris. They can go big. They could go defense with Bembry and Bruce Brown at the same time. They could go so many different ways that Steve Nash is going to, once again, hey, Sam, we just have to experiment again and find out what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, and I feel like this time the experiment won't be brutal. Now we're going to have so many options to the point where it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun instead of brutal this time. Because last time they were experimenting by giving Javon Carter 25 plus minutes a game. And that was a brutal experiment. This one should be fun.
I was just about to say, I don't think Javon Carter will be part of this experiment. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that now. I think that Javon Carter will only see minutes after the month of January in garbage time. I'm going to throw it out there now. He will not be a rotational piece for the rest of the season.
Hallelujah.
You mean after the month of January in like Shanghai or something?
Yeah, I mean, he might play with some other team in a different country or a different planet. I don't care.
There's people calling for Galloway to take Carter's spot on the roster.
Honestly, I'm one of those guys who's been saying that because at least Galloway can knock down open jump shot.
Yeah. I'm not disagreeing either.
You guys want to kind of make a prediction on our future rotations? I know we kind of touched on this a while ago, but it's becoming more of a reality now. The Nets will have all their players.
If
anyone wants to start.
I'll start, I guess. So I think my starting lineup's pretty easy. I think you go Kyrie, KD, Harden, obviously. Then you go Joe Harris, and you go Claxton. I think Claxton kind of proved he's like you need that defense in the starting lineup, the versatility on defense and switches. I think your first two guys off the bench are always going to be Patty and LaMarcus. I think of the big three, I take Harden out first and kind of like have the KD Kyrie lineup come like from like the 6 minute mark, maybe like the 2 minute mark. And then I have Harden run with the bench guys. And after you see the KD LaMarcus, I think out of the James Johnson, Blake Millsap crew, I think you need to pick like one or two of those guys tops. I think Millsap, like I said, is going to play a very limited role just because he looks a little cooked. I think he'll just come in spots where it's a good matchup. And I think you'll see Bembry and Bruce Brown kind of rotate depending on who's hot and who's not in certain spots and like maybe matchups if you need more size. Bembry, like I think each one of these guys has like a set time to play. And I think Cam really only going to play the home games where it's like absolutely necessary. You know, if Kyrie, you need some scoring or like there's a guy out of the lineup. Like I think there's seven locks and then the rest, it's like one of two guys between like those groups, like that I stated before. And I think Carter's out of the rotation. And sadly, like the Kessler Edwards, David Dukes, and Sharps are just not going to see time just because there's too many guys in this roster.
Yeah, I mean, Mine
That's
is
exactly mine. Mine is exactly the same, like nothing different.
Yeah, it's all definitely going to be the same. You obviously have your big three. You have Joe Harrison. I'd probably start Claxton, and then you have Patty and LaMarcus off the bench. And then, I mean, if you're probably going to end up playing 10 guys total a night at least, and then that's the other three are probably Blake, Bruce, and Bembry. So those are probably like the 10 total that I'd have. But yeah, not much different than what you've got going on.
Yeah, I think the Nets kind of ran Anthony's rotation last year where Harden came out first and Kyrie went out and got buckets, and then those two came out kind of together. And then Harden, as we've seen these last two games, is more than capable of playing with the role players and elevating their game while still scoring himself and keeping the bench afloat, especially if he's surrounded with guys like Patty Mills, Bruce Brown. I love Bruce Brown, Bembry playing with Harden because they cut so well off the ball, and Harden always finds them. It's really just beautiful basketball to watch. I'm even going to throw out that the Nets might run with the Los Angeles Lakers lineup of tonight, where they have LeBron James playing center. And I think the Nets might not start, but they might play some Kevin Durant minutes at five with the lineup I said before. This the extreme Houston offense of when they're playing TJ Tucker at the five, and then they're running with all shooters. So Nets could throw out. How do you go to lineup with Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Patty Mills, and Joe Harris? Like, how is that even possible?
You don't guard it. Yeah. You can't.
They're going to struggle on rebounding, maybe. I mean, KD's obviously 6'11", is a fairly good rebounder. He's kind of thin. He can't guard a traditional big. Harden's a good rebounder. But I just...
Can you imagine a Nets-Warriors game where, like, the Nets have that lineup out there? Then the Warriors have, like, Steph, Clay, like, Wiggins, like Jordan Poole, and then Draymond Green. Like, all the shooting that's on the court.
Well, it'll...
It's a whole three-point contest.
That'd be fun.
Insane. So I hope the Nets – I don't think they're going to start that. I don't think they're going to close with that lineup unless they're playing a very small team. Obviously, you can't go on that against, like, Philly or really Milwaukee unless you're really trying to blitz their bigs out of the game, especially Milwaukee. But just in some spot moments, I hope they throw it out there just because it would be so fun to watch. Not even from like a winning perspective. It would just be such a fun basketball to watch with all of the offense on the floor.
Totally agree. It'd be insane.
All right, let's look ahead. Let's get our predictions in for the rest of this week. It's been a while. So obviously, Thursday, we have Philly, which I am incredibly excited for. I am going to the game, and I am actually sitting with the Brooklyn Brigade, so I will be there. Next time you guys hear from me, I hopefully won't have a voice. If I do, that means I didn't do my job. But anyways, and then we play the Clippers again on Saturday.
The next year, I'll go first. I'll take wins in both.
All right, I'm not going to ask Anthony because I know he's taking wins in both.
I'm taking wins in both.
See, like, I want to take wins in both, but, like, I'm behind you guys, so I can't just make the same picks. But I'm going to take wins in both right now, and I'll make up my games later in the season. But I just think the Clippers game is going to be another absolute blowout. Paul George won't be back. Obviously, Kawhi won't be back. And then they throw the slew of players out. And the Nets should be almost fully healthy besides Joe Harris and Kyrie. So,
yeah.
Anything else you guys want to talk about before we close here?
Scary hours are upon us, my friends.
Scary hours shall commence very, very soon.
I want to see a stretch of like the Nets full roster play because I've been sick. We've had James Harden for almost a year now. I want to see everyone play. So let's get an extended stretch. I know Kyrie won't be there for the home games, but at least for the away games. I know we have like seven out of our next line at home, but when we have that 4-game road trip, let's see some fun basketball. That's it.
I agree. Well said. All right, guys. Everyone, thank you for once again tuning in to the Sports Ethos Nets podcast. This is Cody Mallory. I was joined once again by Anthony Dittmar and Joe Farrow. As always, please comment, like, subscribe, follow us, tweet at us, interact with us, ask us questions. We love the fan interaction. It's really what we live for. And as always, let's go Nets. Scary hours coming soon.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.